of the Night.
Out of the night comes the whispering voice of the night wind to tell another story of man's battle with fate. The amazing but true story tonight of an error in identity that sent an innocent man to jail for 7 years. Unbelievable, but true.
I don't know anything about it. I said it. You got to believe me.
This is the voice of a night wind, and this is the tale I tell. It began one wintry December afternoon in 1895 in a fashionable London street. Adolf Beck, a well-to-do Norwegian, was taking a quiet stroll before dinner when he was suddenly accosted by an angry young woman.
So, I found you at last, you scoundrel.
I am sorry, madame. There must be some mistake.
There's no mistake. I'd know your face anywhere. Give me back my watch and ring, you thief.
Please, I assure you. My name is Adolf Beck. I am a Norwegian, a visitor to London.
Don't think you can get out of it like that.
I assure madame she is in error. Now, if you will please excuse
me. Oh, no, you don't. Police! Help! Police!
Please, madame. I implore you.
Hey, what's going on here? Is this man annoying you, lady?
He's a thief. I've been searching for him for days. He obtained valuables of mine by trickery.
One of them, eh?
This is preposterous, constable. I've tried to explain to the young lady that she is mistaking me for someone else. My name
Never
is...
Never mind about that now. You better come along with me. You can tell your story to the sergeant.
Mystified and angry, Adolf Beck spent several hours in the cells before his insistent demand to talk to the sergeant in charge was granted.
Well, what do you want?
I demand to know why I'm being detained here.
Oh, you do you? Well, if it's any news to you, you're being detained on a charge of obtaining goods by false pretenses.
From that young woman?
You've hit it in one, matey.
But that's absurd. I've never seen her before in my life.
Still sticking to that yarn, eh?
It's the truth. At least you might tell me what I'm supposed to have done.
You wouldn't have heard of the St. John's Wood joke by any chance, would you?
No, haven't. I don't know what you're talking about.
The St. John's Wood joke, matey, is this. A prosperous-looking gent like yourself scrapes up an acquaintance with a woman and drops hints about his wealth and aristocracy and so on. Later on, he writes to her, asking if he can call. He uses expensive crested paper with a St. John's Wood address, and he signs it with a title.
But this is fantastic.
Hold on, I've not finished yet. In due course, the gentleman calls. He's wanting a housekeeper, he says, and invites the lady to take the job. The pay is good, and she accepts. He insists on buying her a new wardrobe and gives her a whopping check. Then the talk gets round to jewelry. She shows him what she has. He says it needs resetting and improving. So he takes the whole lot of it away to have it fixed. And that's the last she sees of him or her stuff. And even the check comes back marked no account. But of course you wouldn't know about such things, would you?
No, I wouldn't. And let me tell you, Sergeant...
If you don't mind, I'll do all the telling around here. We've had a lot of complaints these last few months about swindlers like you. I've sent messages out to all the women who've been taken in. And in half an hour or so, matey, you're going to take your chance in the lineup. If you're as innocent as you say, you've nothing to fear. Otherwise, you can look forward to a nice, long stretch.
To Beck's horror, no less than 10 or 20 women who attended the lineup identified him as the man who had duped them. Then someone looked up the records and discovered that a man known as John Smith had gone to jail for 5 years way back in 1877 for similar offences. The policeman who had arrested this Smith was brought out of retirement, confronted with Beck, and declared at once that he and Smith were the same man. Things looked black for Beck, and blacker still as the trial progressed. Only his counsel, Charles Gill, remained confident of an acquittal.
But if all these women all say positively that I am the man, how can I possibly hope for an acquittal?
Don't you worry, Mr. Beck. I have a trump up my sleeve yet.
You have? That's comforting to know. What is it?
As soon as the Crown try to prove that you and this John Smith are identical, I'm going to blow their whole case sky high.
Good.
First, I'm going to submit Smith's official description and let the jury compare it with yours.
Perhaps they will be similar.
No, not at all. Smith was dark, you're fair. His eyes were brown, you're the blue. He was 5'8", you're 6". He weighed 11 stone, you weigh 14.
But that doddering old constable, they brought out of her time and positively identified me as Smith.
So much the better. If he can be mistaken, so can the women. Furthermore, I had a word today from the British Embassy in Peru which proved definitely that you were in South America at the time Smith was sent to jail. I tell you, Mr. Beck, you've got not a thing to worry about. Once I prove you can't possibly be John Smith, the jury just can't do anything else but acquit you.
Counsel's reasoning was sound enough. The only catch was that the Crown prosecutor happened to see the same trap and carefully avoided walking into it.
And as to the suggestion, Your Honor, that my client has had a previous conviction for an offense of this nature, and that he is, in fact, identical with one John Smith...
I object, Your Honor.
What are your grounds, Mr. Avery?
I submit, Your Honor, that the prisoner is charged with misdemeanor on 10 specific counts during 1895. The question of whether he is or is not John Smith has nothing whatever to do with the present charges. Nor can its introduction serve any possible purpose but to confuse and prejudice the proceedings before this court.
With all due respect to my learned colleague, Your Honor, I submit...
Objection sustained.
Did Your Honor say sustained?
I did, Mr. Gill. Pray proceed with your case and omit all reference to the name of John Smith and of any incident or person not directly concerned with the charges before the court.
With his main line of defense denied him, Beck never had a chance. He was found guilty, and still fervently protesting his innocence, sentenced to 7 years jail. Good Conduct Commission earned his release after 5 years in 1901. But scarcely had he settled back to civilian life than the old nightmare began all over again.
Well, if it isn't my old friend Adolf Beck.
Oh, it's you, Sergeant. What do you want?
Oh, just called in for a quiet chat, as you might say.
Haven't you people finished with me yet? Don't you think you've hounded me enough as it is?
Now, no hard feelings. Got to do me job, you know. So you've been up your old games again, eh? It's a pity you fellas never learn.
What do you mean? What are you trying to pin on me now?
You've been out of court about a month now, haven't you?
Yes, 4 weeks today.
Don't waste much time, do you? I don't know. I always thought you were an intelligent sort of cove. Didn't really expect you'd mend your ways, you know, but I did think you'd change your methods. I'm disappointed in you, matey. Really, I am.
Will you please tell me what all this is leading to?
Ever heard of a woman named Mary Watson?
Never.
Will it surprise you to know she complained to the police today that she'd been a victim of the St. John's Wood joke?
I tell you, I never heard of her.
And from the way she describes the man who took her in, it sounds exactly like you.
I don't know anything about it. I swear it. You've got to believe me.
Still playing the innocent, eh? Well, you better come along with me, Beck.
You mean I'm to be charged again?
Well, that all depends on whether she identifies you in the lineup.
So once again, the whole incredible business was repeated. To Adolf Beck, it must have seemed like some hideous nightmare. In the lineup, the woman had no hesitation in selecting him as her defrauder. He was charged, stood his trial, found guilty, and remanded for sentence. Then, as he waited miserably in his cell to learn his fate, the whole case suddenly and dramatically cracked open.
Congratulations, Mr. Beck. You're free.
I'm free?
Well, I'll accept a few legal details.
You mean they've reviewed my case?
I mean they've caught the real criminal, John Smith.
It can't be true.
It is true. They arrested him in a pawn shop 4 hours ago, trying to dispose of some of Mary Watson's jewels. He's broken down under cross-questioning and has confessed everything.
Everything?
Yes, including the crimes that you were sent to jail for 5 years ago. You're not only free, Mr. Beck, but your name has been cleared. And if I can't get you whopping compensation for your wrongful imprisonment, my name's not Charlie Gill.
A special committee of inquiry was set up to investigate the whole matter. And Adolf Beck had the belated pleasure of seeing his name expunged from the criminal records and receiving a check for £5,000 for the wrong he had suffered. Today, his story is history. But neither criminologist nor psychologist have ever been able to explain how 11 women could have positively identified him as John Smith when the two men were so utterly dissimilar in every respect. And that is the story of When Justice Was Blind. Unbelievable, but true.